This is a special day today for me because it's Sunday. I love the Lord, and this summer, it's hard to put into words. This might have been the hardest summer I've ever had in my life. And at the same time, it's been a summer of searching, seeking God, asking Him what's the next step. You know, when school starts and September comes around, man, you want to be fired up and you want to be ready to go and you want to lead a group of people to surrender their lives to Christ and understand how cool it is to know Him and live for Him. And I'd say about 6 weeks ago, there's a guy, him and his wife and their son attend a church here. Todd Damon came up back there by that water cooler where I was on my seventh cup of water. And he handed me this book. And he said, "Pastor Nick, I don't know why I'm supposed to give you this book, but God has told me to give it to you. I have no idea why. Just read it." So that week I started reading it and my mind and my heart just got so fired up, and through a lot of prayer and a lot of seeking Lord and asking Him, "Where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do?" Because I've been called to lead this place, and it's very humbling. And at the very same time, it's powerful. It's powerful to know Him and to understand Him and to go deep with Him. And I feel like this summer has been my deepest summer. And I'm entitled this series called Going Public, and today's message is called Messengers for the Creator of the Universe, because I want us to walk out of here today realizing and knowing that and understanding that, because that's where He wants us to go. This book that He gave me was called Unexpected Adventure. It's by Lee Strobel. If you ever heard of him, he was a newspaper guy who was an atheist that hated God, that didn't want to know nothing about God. But then God got a hold of his life. Did that ever happen to anybody in here? That God got a hold of your life and you realize He is the King of the universe, that He created us, wants to have a relationship with us, and wants us to go to work for Him. We're privileged to know Him, and we spend the rest of our life understanding Him. So in this story, Unexpected Adventure, I'm going to give you an example. Every week, I'm going to give you this story, and here is today. He starts out by saying, "It was a hectic day at the newspaper where I worked as an editor. Several major stories erupted before the deadline, and reporters were scurrying around as they frantically tried to finish their articles. With emotions frayed, just about everyone lost their temper." Ever been in that point? "On many days," he said, "the stress of journalism caused me to lose my composure too. But as a fairly new Christian," Lee Strobel wrote, "I asked God for help as soon as the day looked like it was spiraling out of control." Anybody ever been there? Anybody in there and they ask for help because you feel like your life is going spiraling out of your control, your day spiraling out of control? But he writes, "Thanks to Him, I managed to stay uncharacteristically calm amidst the chaos in this editing room." It said, "After the last story was edited, I looked up and I was surprised to see one of my bosses standing over my desk." And I thought, uh-oh, that wasn't a good sign. Anybody ever have that happen to him at work? Praise God. But it turned out that he wasn't there to upbraid me about my mistake or some oversight. Instead, he took me off guard by asking, with genuine curiosity, "Strobel, how did you get through this day without blowing your top?" And then, apparently suspecting a link between my behavior, he writes, "and the fact that I went to church on Sundays," he added the words that sent a chill down my spine. "What's this Christianity thing to you?" He point blank, his boss looked at him and said, "What's this Christianity thing to you?" And he said, "Whoa, for a moment I froze. Nobody ever asked me anything like that before. In fact, I've never shared my faith with anybody before. The only way my boss even knew that I attended church, because once I told him I couldn't go on an outing with him on Sunday morning. And now, out of the blue, I was being put on the spot. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to say it. I was afraid I would utter the wrong words. Anybody ever been in that spot? I didn't want to embarrass myself or have him make fun of me. I fretted about what would happen to my career if I gushed about my faith to him and became known as the newsroom's holy roller." There was a lot at stake here. My mind raced. Maybe I could dismiss the whole thing with a joke. "Hey, Christianity, what happens in church stays in church." He thought about saying that. Maybe I could simply pretend I didn't hear him over the noise of the newsroom. Or I could say, "Yeah, it was a crazy day, man. Look at the time. I've got to get out of here. Leslie's going to kill me." And that's when the uninvited words of the Apostle Paul coursed through my mind. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Great, I thought. Just what I needed, a biblical guilt trip. Though it seemed as if minutes were ticking by, all of this occurred in a flash. Even as I was opening my mouth to reply, I made a scary split-second decision and I resolved to take a spiritual risk. Anybody ever been in that spot before? I looked up at my boss and said, "You really want to know? Let's go to your office." So behind closed doors, he wrote, we talked for 45 minutes. Well, to be honest with you, I did most of the talking. I was really nervous, never having been trained on how to engage with others about my faith. I fumbled around and wasn't nearly as clear as I could have been. Ever been there in that spot? And still, in my own sincere but admittedly inept way, I tried to describe how I met Jesus and the difference he had made in my life. Anyone here this morning been through something like that? And he goes on to write, "Something amazing happened." He didn't laugh at me. He didn't make fun of me. He didn't nervously try to change the topic or make excuses so why he could leave the room. Instead, he listened intently. By the end, he was hanging on every word that I said. And at the same time, I felt like I was going to burst inside, because it instantly became clear to me that nothing was as urgent or exciting as what I was doing in this seemingly unforeseen conversation. That's where we need to be, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I'm here today to share with you. And it felt as if time were standing still, as if eternity was holding its breath. And I'm not sure how God used that conversation in my boss's life, but I do know that he undeniably used it in mine. When I emerged from that office, I was thoroughly invigorated. I felt like the air was carbonated. There was no words to adequately describe the thrill I felt in having been used by God to communicate his message of hope to someone far from him. Think about it. Anyone here today ever been thrilled by that kind of encounter with someone like that? Lee Strobel went on to say, "I wanted more of that action. At that moment, I knew I could never go back to my humdrum Christian experience, drifting aimlessly throughout my spiritual life on a tranquil sailboat atop waters unperturbed by wind and waves. For at the first time," he wrote, "I understood that these unscripted adventures on the high seas of personal evangelism are what give excitement, fulfillment, and ultimate purpose to a life of faith." Think about it. In your Christian walk as a child of God, as an ambassador to Christ, you want excitement? Do you want fulfillment? You want ultimate purpose in your life of faith? And then I thought to myself, after all, what's more important than being a messenger for a creator of the universe? What's more important than that? to be a messenger for the creator of the universe is someone whose eternity is hanging in the balance. Now, I'm going to ask you right now, raise your hand if you know somebody whose eternity is hanging in the balance. Seriously. Every one of our hands should be raised. Because God planned it that way. Before you were born, He planned you. He chose you. And when you bended your knees and accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, you became a child of God, and all of a sudden He gives you this adventure to live out. He brings people in your path where the eternity is hanging in the balance. It's unbelievable. I'm just so moved by this. He said, I had stumbled upon this unexpected adventure of talking about others about Jesus, and I quickly learned that living on this evangelistic edge amplifies every detail of the Christian life. And I thought about, okay, here's what's every detail of my Christian life? Here's four things. It's where a Bible study becomes more intense. It's because we're not merely reading Scripture as a devotional or as an academic exercise, but we're searching for fresh insights and wisdom to use in reaching our spiritually confused neighbors. So when we start gathering here today on G3 Wednesdays, that's what we want to do. Yeah, we want to dig into the Word. We want to have fellowship. But we should be searching for fresh insights and wisdom so that we can be used to reach our spiritually confused neighbors. Anybody have any spiritually confused neighbors? They're all around us. So it's where your Bible study becomes more intense. It's where your prayer life becomes more focused. And this has probably been a big summer for me, from trying to focus my prayer life on, Lord, where you want us to go? Because we're pleading. I'm pleading for God's help and guidance in bringing the gospel to family members who don't know Christ. And I think to myself, what would happen if people that call themselves members of Community Christian Fellowship start praying and pleading for people that you know that if they died today, they would spend eternity in hell? So it's about where our Bible study becomes more intense. It's about where our prayer life becomes more in focus. It's about our worship when it becomes increasingly heartfelt because we're praising the God of second chance who is astonishing. His astonishing grace loves our wandering friends even more than we do. Do you realize that? He loves your unsaved neighbor more than you do. And that fourth thing I thought, it's where our dependence on God reaches new heights. I want that. I want my relationship to be so solid, so focused on Him that I can make a difference to my friends and my neighbors. And we have to realize that apart from the Holy Spirit, there's no way that we can bring anyone to the point of putting their trust in Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Apart from the Holy Spirit, there's no way we can bring anyone to the point that they would trust in Jesus. And that's that missing ingredient that I want to talk about in the series that's in so many Christians' lives. I've never heard anybody complaining by saying, my spiritual life is so dry now, it's like I'm living in a desert. And then oh, by the way, I'm actively trying to reach a friend for Christ. Lee Strobel wrote, as I travel the world, I've repeatedly found it's the Christian living out the unexpected adventure who are enjoying the most fulfilling relationships with God. Isn't that beautiful? I have this most filling relationship with this girl called Kathy Zavestra because I love the Lord and I want to make a difference for Him, and He's put us together just like He's put every one of you all together. It's like I want to do that country wedding hallmark. Kathy, blue, chip, mint, ice cream. You ever seen a country wedding? Oh, my God. Watch, it's beautiful. For us, a day might start out average and routine, but it always has the potential. As a child of God, it always has a potential to blossom into a life-changing and eternity-altering encounter. Think about it. Look at Jesus. He lived out the unexpected adventure throughout His ministry. People were constantly walking up to him. If you're reading the Gospels, out of nowhere and abruptly raising spiritual questions, such as that rich young ruler who suddenly appeared and asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And how did Jesus handle this overachiever? Jesus enthusiastically entered into an adventure, lovingly, underline that, lovingly challenging him to give up everything, keeping him from God so that he could get on an adventure himself. Paul did the same thing, I thought about, as he moved from place to place, he created action. And often controversy, wherever he went, one person summed up Paul's impact by saying he sparked revivals and riots wherever he would speak. In other words, his life was one big moving adventure. Paul summed up that kind of life that we can all live by saying we should be ready to communicate God's message in season and out of season. That's what it means to go public. To be ready to share that message in season and out of season. So in effect, he's really saying, be ready for an adventure of sharing your faith when it's unexpected. Eugene Peterson wrote this in A Traveling Light, this book he wrote. The word Christian means different things to different people. To one person, it means a stiff, upright, inflexible way of life, colorless and unbending. I've met some Christians like that. To another, it means a risky, surprise-filled, ventured, living tiptoe at the edge of expectation. And if we get our information from biblical material, there's no doubt that the Christian life can be a dancing and leaping and daring life. We're at like at the edge of expectation, and that's how we're meant to live. And when we tell God, please surprise me with opportunities to tell others about you, you can have confidence that he will take us on a white-knuckled adventure that will make an eternal impact on others while at the same time giving us the thrills of a lifetime. Seriously, I want you to take this listening guide home and read those statements in there, because they're so important to what God is calling this congregation, this fellowship to do. And it's the difference between a numb life of predictability and an exhilarating series of divine consequences. Think about it. Coincidences, let me pronounce it that way. Anyone who have ever read the Bible know that God wants us to be involved with spreading His good news far and wide. Anybody agree with that? Seriously, we have to start at that spot. We have to understand at that spot. Because if we love the Lord and we read the Bible and we fellowship and we're Bible studies, we're not just supposed to stay in these rooms and fill ourselves with a bunch of knowledge. We got to be ready to go out on that unexpected adventure of spreading the good news far and wide. What is mysterious, when I think about it, is why he chooses to include us in this redemptive mission. Could it be because of the way he uses the unexpected adventures to enrich our lives? Because inevitably our faith is deepened when we sense God leading us into evangelistic encounters. When we see Him answer our prayers for spiritual befuddled friends. And when we witness how the gospel continues to revolutionize people who put their trust in Christ. You're sitting here today and you're a bunch of revolutionaries, man. We're proud of Christ's work. We're proud of His good and pleasing and perfect will. And He's preparing us and getting us ready to make a difference to those people in our lives. Think about it. Praise God. The truth is that I've become a fanatic when it comes to radical life change. I want my life to be more like Christ every day. I want to know Him more. I want to feel His presence more. And I want to, like, surround you with His presence and allow Him to work in your life. And it's really not allowing Him. It's pleading with Him and praying for Him to work a mighty work in every one of your lives. Nothing is more fulfilling. Now, I'm going to make this statement, and you might not agree with it, But I'm telling you, if you agree with it, it's unbelievable. Nothing is more fulfilling than seeing ordinary people turned into extraordinary followers of God, instilled with His Spirit and enabled by His power to make incredible differences in the life of others. What are you talking about, Pastor Nick? I'm talking about atheists who can become missionaries. I'm talking about once wayward kids who are now inspired worship leaders. I'm talking about hardened inmates who become compassionate pastors. I'm talking about disengaged dads who turn into enthusiastic leaders of Christ-centered families. I'm talking about narcissists who become selfless servants of others. I'm talking about former drug users who rescue the lives and souls of addicts. That's what He's calling us to do. That's what He's preparing us to do. And I'm going to do everything I can to get you in groups of people where you can fellowship with one another, study the Word of God, and look for fresh insights so that you can make a difference in your neighbors and in your families. Ordinary folks who thought they had it all until they discovered there's nothing more important than Jesus. Is there anything better? And that is what should get us up in the morning. The thought that somehow, in some way, God might take this seemingly routine day and surprise me with an opportunity to tell someone about the good news that has the power to turn their life inside out. I'm telling you, there's been so much confirmation coming to me the last couple months. I had a guy who used to attend here text me and said, "My father-in-law's dying, and I want you to pray for him." I said, "Hey, where does he live? Let's go over there together. I'd love to talk with him." He wouldn't want you to come into his house. He doesn't want to talk about God. Just please pray that God would touch his heart. And then he texted me this statement that I will never forget. "Dying without Jesus looks terrifying." That's what he texted me. I will never forget that. And I just got on my knees when I read that text and prayed for that man. I don't know what happened. I have no idea. Dying without Jesus looks terrifying. Think about that the next time you're out in the neighborhood and talking to people. Think about it when you come across somebody that God puts in your path. Because I guess I'm supposed to ask you today, don't you want more of this action in your life? My guess is that you've got old friends from school, colleagues at work, neighbors down the block, even members of your own family who you fear will stare into a Christian abyss after they close their eyes for the last time in this world. You know that God has the ability to redeem, restore, and redirect them, giving them new values, a fresh purpose, and renewed priorities. My mom died in 2012, and I will never forget, you know, through the years, sharing the gospel with her. Kathy and I loving on her, and she never took that step. I can remember being on the telephone and telling her, "Mom, you got to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and ask Him to come into your heart because He wants you to be in heaven with Him. Remember, Dad? Remember when I shared at his funeral that he received Christ and asked God to forgive his sins because he said he was a mean son of a gun his whole life? Do you remember that, Mom?" And then the phone starts beeping itself. "Oh, Nick, the batteries must be going out. I'm going to hang up." It's unbelievable. And then that day here in 2012, I can't remember, it was in February somewhere, just being here at the church, and my brother called me and said, "She's been hospice and he thinks she's going to die that day." And I can remember walking out of my office down the hallway just pleading, "God, take her soul. Take her heart. I loved my mom. Yeah, she watched too many soap operas, but I loved my mom. I wanted to be in heaven with you. I pleaded. No one was here but me, and I was yelling out, man." You'd have thought if someone visitor walked by, I thought, "This guy's crazy, man." But we got to realize that God has the ability to redeem, to restore, and redirect anybody, to give them new values, a fresh purpose, and renewed priorities. He did that for us. That's why we're here today, because He did that for us. And we're supposed to be spurring you on to take the things God has given you to go outside these walls and make a difference for Him. And sometimes, if we choose to be a part of these risky adventures, we're going to be scared to death. Other times we'll be doubled over with laughter. And time after time we'll be shaking our heads in amazement and gratitude that we will see God surpass all our expectations, all our prayers, all our pleading. Lee Strobel said this in one chapter. He said, I might as well confess this up front. We've also made every outreach mistake in the book and then some. Yet despite our occasional ineptitude, even with our hesitations and failings, we've seen God energize our efforts and bring many friends and strangers several steps forward in their spiritual journey. Sometimes even all the way to the point of repentance and faith. I want that. Do you? Do you want that? Do you know people? Did you want? No, God wants you to do that too. And I've learned a lot of lessons along the way. And I'll be passing them on in the following weeks concerning risky, surprise-filled ventures. It'll include adventurous stories that I can share with you. I'll give you action principles every week and tools to help you step into the action as well as inspiration from God's Word. That's what I'm supposed to be doing here. And I feel like sometimes I've stressed Bible studies, and I'm not going to stop stressing Bible study. But we've got to take what God is giving us out of this book and get outside these walls and make a difference here. We want this place to be filled with people who want God, who are looking for hope, who understand that the world is not giving it to them. I wrote in your listening guide, my goal is to paint a real picture over the next few weeks of personal evangelism that's so compelling, I hope so desirable, so irresistible, and so darn doable. I thought about doing another D word, but it wouldn't have fit. That you would be anxious to take the next step yourself, whatever that is, and it's engaging in our own adventures. And maybe that step might be just meeting somebody new. Perhaps it's to get into a spiritual conversation, or it could be to explain the gospel and pray for someone to receive Christ. And I'm here today to tell you, you don't need to know all the answers, because that's what the enemy's whispering in you right now. You don't know nothing about the Bible. You won't be able to share your faith. You don't need to have every answer to every theological question. You don't have to master a polished gospel presentation that you mechanically recite, whether people want to hear it or not. You don't have to pretend that you're the next Billy Graham. All you have to do, and I'm asking you to make this promise today, is to authentically follow Christ in your own life and ask Him to ambush you with opportunities, and then trust that He's going to use you in spite of, and sometimes even because of, your shortcoming, your Italianness, your quick temper, your whatever. Bad habits and quirks. Simply put, our role is this, to be ready and willing, because God is always able. After all, He's the great evangelist. We're merely the tools that He uses to fulfill His mission of redeeming the world, one individual at a time. I've had so much confirmation the last 6 weeks that I've been working on. I wish I would have listed all of them. But I had a confirmation last night. Last night, sitting in the home of Bobby and Dennis Pileski with my doll and their two cool cats, and we're watching the Hallmark movie, Season of Love. Anybody watch it last night? Pray, you're going straight to heaven. Praise God. Well, it wasn't on till 9 o'clock. That was good, Elizabeth. That was very good, man. Praise God. So we only watched the first hour because I can't stay up past 10 now. But this was the essence of the first hour of the movie. It blew me away. I didn't say nothing to these three. I might have said something to the cat. There was a BB&T restaurant there. And all of a sudden, two or three other restaurants opened in the same neighborhood and their business went down, meaning less people went there. I thought, very interesting. And then I remember the lady who ran the place said, it'll all work out. And then they had this idea of bringing samples of their BB&T out on the sidewalk to people to try so they would come back to there. Ladies and gentlemen, we're the samples. We are the samples. It's unbelievable. And I'm sitting there thinking that and going crazy. Oh my gosh. We bring Jesus outside and we're giving them samples of who he is and what he done in our life and how he changed us so they can taste and see that he is the way and the truth and the life. That hallmark's pretty cool, man. I'm sharing all this with you today, every message with the theme being we're going public. For you, for every one of you to ask God to ignite or intensify your life for reaching people with his message of forgiveness and eternal life. That's Christianity, my friends. That's the next step for us. To be ready and willing to go out and take a risk. Take a risk. And then I thought to myself, get a pad of paper, man. Because you're going to want to start compiling your own list of stories as God inevitably takes you on a series of unforgettable and unexpected adventures. My prayer is that I've been praying and seeking the Lord about in that in the coming weeks that there will be those in our church family sitting here today who will want to give God the glory by sharing stories of what happened as we realize that every one of us have committed our life to Christ and have become a messenger for the Creator of the universe. Praise God. If the ushers want to come forward. Praise God. Band want to come forward. Praise God. I am so excited. I am so pumped up. It's like I want to give you these stories and these tools and these steps that you can do. And I can't wait for emails or texts or people driving up, Nick, you're not going to believe what happened to me at Walmart. I took the time. I took a risky adventure and started sharing with Christ and everybody. And sometimes they're going to receive it and sometimes they're not. But I'm going to tell you something. You are going to be blessed because you're going to be a part of that adventure and taking that risky opportunity to make a difference because you're speaking hope. We're living in America that's 50% gone wild, going negative, going angry, going upset. We need some gospel believing, gospel teaching, gospel living people that are going to go out and make a difference for him. Praise God. Anybody with me today? Anybody see and understand this today? Because I tell you, I am so pumped up. It's unbelievable. I can't wait. We got a guy, Lloyd, living across the street. He's an alcoholic, man. He goes and every night Kathy goes, look, he has another case with him. And Kathy's out there talking to him. Sharon, everybody has that. And it's whether we're going to take that step or not. I really can't stop and I'll try to praise God. I want to know if there's somebody who wants to be that kind, want to go on those kind of adventures. I want to open up this altar today because I want to pray for you, man. I want some adventures. Seeking thrill evangelist that wants to go out and make a difference for him. And it might be somebody in your family. It might be your sons. It might be your daughters. It might be your grandma and grandma. Tell them to turn those soap operas off, man. Praise God. Ushers, come forward, man. This God is so good. Man, we're going to be dedicating some children. We're going to be baptizing some children. We're going to introduce you to some new members of this church in the coming week. I'm so pumped up. School starting. And, you know, parents are saying, hallelujah. Praise God. We got a new guitar player. Praise God. God is good. Pete, I want to tell you and Holly, thank you for your faithfulness. thank you. All of you, thank you for your faithfulness. Donna, Tommy, and I could sit here and name names all day long. Thank you for your faithfulness. Come here for Him. Come here to make a difference for Him. But be ready to go out and get some adventures going. Praise God. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your love, your word, your mission, your anointing. Thank you for the times where we just come together and celebrate. And at the same time, worship you and give you the glory for all you're doing in our lives. Thank you for these two buildings, Lord. Thank you for the elders. Thank you for the staff. Father, thank you for our elder meeting on Monday night. It was incredible. It was incredible. And I remember Keith telling me, Nick, I've been praying all day for our meeting. We were in such accord Monday night. We were such for each other and there for each other and lifting each other up and lifting you all up and saying, what can we do to connect everybody and get them plugged in, Father, so they can see you work, see you change lives and strengthen our hearts and be ready to give hope. Father, I'm praying for unexpected adventures. Risky. They're going to be risky at times. So, Father, bless our offering right now, Father, in a mighty way. Father, and I pray as I open this altar up, I want to know if anybody's serious about this, man. I want to know if everybody's ready and willing to take on the title ambassador, taking the title on a child of God, taking the title on risky adventures, unexpected. And be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have with gentleness and respect and meekness and fear and love. Father is going to do it all, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.